Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast. There are thousands of podcasts out there, but only one that's dedicated to what matters most right here in Can Be.
So
I'm your
bad.
Host, Tyler Franke. We have a great show lined up for you today.
It's
we'll be
bad.
Talking relationships and sex education with Micah Ridmark.
Why did people listen to that?
How come people listen to that and they're like, oh, we should definitely listen to more of that.
I'm going to subscribe to this. Yeah, sorry about that, guys.
It took so long for you to start talking.
Yeah. And when I did start talking, you like wished that I would stop. It's so awkward.
Yeah, definitely.
That's one thing that's really surprising. We can talk about this later, but just it takes a long time, longer time than I expected to get comfortable on the mic.
Yep, definitely.
So we got a little bit of a different show for you guys today. It's New Year's, and we're just kind of reflecting. Tyler and I are in the studio, and that's going to be the show. Basically, that's just talking through the past 3 months, the fun of doing the show, and looking ahead a little bit as well.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. You want to say your phrase, though?
Oh, okay. But first, the news.
Boom.
Clackamas County commissioners have named 5 candidates as finalists in a nationwide search to replace County Administrator Don Krupp, who's retiring in January. The county administrator manages the employees and activities of the county by implementing the policies and goals of the Board of County Commissioners. Candidate interviews will take place in early January, but are closed to the public. Members of the public are invited to meet the finalists during a public reception on Monday, January 7th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Development Services Building, 150 Beaver Creek Road, in Oregon City. This is an opportunity to meet these exceptionally qualified candidates and offer your perspective and feedback. Commissioners hope to hire a new county administrator by late January, with an anticipated starting date by March. A Gresham man suspected of public indecency and possession of child pornography may have exposed himself to children in Gresham, Southeast Portland, and Clackamas County over the last several months, according to investigators. 30-year-old DJ David McKenzie was arrested Wednesday and booked at the Multnomah County Jail on over a dozen charges. He's accused of possessing multiple pornographic images of children and of masturbating while driving his blue sedan in public in view of minors. McKenzie apparently recorded some of these encounters, police say. According to the affidavit obtained by Fox 12, the pornographic images McKenzie allegedly had in his possession were mainly of children between the ages of 4 and 8. McKenzie's alleged behavior came to light when he gave his phone and password to a friend while he was in the hospital. The friend discovered the pornography and video of McKenzie masturbating in public in the vicinity of children and then reported him to the police. Fox 12 reports that McKenzie was nude while driving near young girls on at least 2 occasions, and that in both cases he stopped a car nearby and touched himself inappropriately. Investigators want to speak to anyone who may have witnessed him engage in these types of behavior. Anyone with information about McKenzie is asked to contact Detective Adam Wright at 503-618-2233. Police beat for the week of December 4th through the 10th. On December 4th at 4 p.m., officers conducted a traffic stop on Knightsbridge Road on a vehicle that was unlicensed and uninsured. They made contact with the driver and learned that they were also unlicensed. That is actually pretty impressive. That is literally none of the things that you are supposed to have. Anyway, the driver was cited and the vehicle was impounded. On December 6th at 12:05 a.m., a man was stopped and cited on Highway 99E for driving uninsured. Because the vehicle was blocking a traffic lane, it was ordered towed. The officer then gave the driver a courtesy lift to his local residence. So nice. Always helps with the old walk of shame when the police drop you off at home. Later that day at 12:30 p.m., a man reported his vehicle had been stolen from the parking lot of the market on Highway 99E in Canby. The vehicle was recovered a couple hours later when another man called to report a suspicious vehicle parked on his property. "Hello, yes, there is a stolen vehicle at my house. So weird, I have no idea how it got there. Definitely wasn't me," or anything. On December 8th at 8 p.m., some empty soda cans were reported stolen from a bottle return machine at the Canby Fred Meyer. I just I mean, I can't believe it. It's crime of the century right here. Or the year. Year's almost over. This is the craziest one I've ever heard of. December 9th at 10:15 a.m., a dog is reported loose on South First Street, barking and being a general nuisance. Officers attempted to locate the owner but were unsuccessful. The dog was transported to the Clackamas County Dog Control. It's weird. Camby's never had a problem with losing their dogs before. That's a funny one. Finally, on December 10th at 4:06 p.m., officers stopped a vehicle for speeding on Highway 99E, and it just went downhill from there. The driver had a suspended license, oh, and also a loaded handgun concealed in the glove box, and some drugs. They were subsequently arrested for felony in possession of firearm and possession of methamphetamines.
Hi, Ray Keen here from the Canby Center. You are not alone. If you're having thoughts about ending your life, reach out to someone. Call 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. Or call a local church such as Canby Christian Church at 503-266-4018. Canby Foursquare Church, 503-266-4444. Or Zora Lutheran Church, 503-266-4061. You know, people around you care even when you may not see it. You are not alone. Brought to you by the Canby Suicide Prevention Task Force.
New Year's Morning, a poem by Helen Hunt Jackson. Night from old to new, only a night and so much wrought. The old year's heart all weary grew, but said the new year rest has brought. The old year's hopes its heart lay down as in a grave, but trusting said the blossoms of the new year's crown bloom from the ashes of the dead. The old year's heart was full of greed, with selfishness it longed and ached, and cried, I have not half I need, my thirst is bitter and unslaked. But to the new year's generous hand, all gifts and plenty shall return. True love it shall understand, by all my failures it shall learn. I have been reckless, it shall be, quiet and calm and pure of life. I was a slave, it shall go free, and find sweet peace where I leave strife. Only a night from old to new, never a night such changes brought. The old year had its work to do, no new year miracles are wrought. Always a night from old to new, night and the healing balm of sleep. Each morn is new year's morn come true, morn of a festival to keep. All nights are sacred nights to make, confession and resolve and prayer. All days are sacred days to wake, new gladness in the sunny air. Only a night from old to new, only a sleep from night to morn. The new is but the old come true, each sunrise sees a new year born. And welcome back.
By the way, that was the first episode you listened
we
to.
We did not explain.
At all.
So, yeah, we opened this episode with the intro from our very first episode because
that was it,
we
guys.
Hate ourselves and wanted to re-listen to something that is not very good.
Sure.
I hope you guys can see the growth. We definitely can.
I mean, there's good and bad days with our stuff, I guess.
I don't have to say that. I sound like depressed. I feel like.
All right, everybody. Welcome back.
And I was trying to bring energy. So that's like funny that it still came through as absolutely depressed or just scared, I think, of having this mic in my face. So,
What are we doing here now? Why are we recording our voices and not other people's voices.
Well, I explained that, but this is our end of the year episode. This is the time of year, like, for newspapers when they would do, and when I was at newspapers, when we would do, like, year in review type stuff, where we basically just, like, go back and find, rather than doing new work, we just find old work that we already did from that year and just reprint it.
Right.
Yeah,
I like this.
So we're doing a little bit of that.
Taking a Christmas vacation
a little
4 months in.
Yeah, right. Oh, it's been so hard. I need a break.
It's like been a crazy 4 months. But actually, that's very true. It has been a crazy 4 months.
It's been insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just kind of took off. We started, I guess, officially started in September.
Yeah.
Just in terms of we actually started, like, being serious, we're going to do this. And just did our social media and started actually talking to people and figuring out, okay, so what kind of business licenses and stuff do we need to do? But we didn't actually record an episode or release an episode until September 24th was our first official episode. And then we kind of just did that as a pilot, not really sure we were going to start officially recording, but we were kind of gaining a following. We had, like, I think, like, 100 listeners that first day, which was way more than we
did
expected.
Really?
Or maybe that first episode, not the first day.
Oh, yeah, I was gonna say hitting 100 episodes or 100 listeners.
We don't even do that now.
Now is like a big deal.
Right. Well, and yeah, and that's spread over episodes.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, and I think it was that first week, but we decided after we released that we'd go ahead and start doing the 2-a-day format, and the rest is history. It's all just been kind of like just along for the ride, I feel like.
A little bit. I mean, I think more for me than for you, just because I'm down here, like, stitching stuff together. But you're out in the world talking to real people.
You've done some of it.
A little bit. Just a little bit.
I've seen, this may be too personal, I've seen a lot of growth in you, I think.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right.
Because when I first started, I was like, there's no way I'm letting him go out and interview people. As a
oh,
joke.
Really? Really?
Yeah, I was hoping you would laugh at that. No, but seriously, I didn't think you would want to, first of all, because you don't have that background or that experience.
Sure.
And there was one time, I think it was the...
The cops.
The cops. Yeah. So,
hey, for your first interview ever, Tyler, go interview some cops serving lunch.
They were doing something nice. So, yeah, it wasn't like a murder.
It's the most terrifying thing ever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it's funny because, like, I always thought cop was like a pejorative.
Oh, right.
But then there's, like, all these things that they, like, they can, I guess it's one of those things where, like, they can call themselves cops because there's, like, shop with a cop, dine with a cop,
sure,
coffee with a cop. But it's, like, you can't call them
We're
that. You have to call
them
officers.
Officers. Yeah.
But, yeah, it was they were over at the Black Bear Diner and they were serving to raise money for Special Olympics. That was a good interview.
Was it?
Once we edited out the middle.
All the parts where I was sweating profusely going, oh, man, you answered all my questions in one answer.
Yeah. Do you feel like you've grown?
A little bit, I guess. I mean, I'm better with in-studio stuff from my other projects.
Yeah.
You know, but I think I'm better at reading the news than I used to be, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Like, it'd be hard to get worse.
You have no idea how the first episode that I read the news on, like, I edited that. I'm surprised it doesn't almost sound like, and then the news is, like, it was so edited. I had to do every story, like, probably 20 times just because I'm a perfectionist.
Yeah.
And so I had to learn, one, stop caring so much. Just read the news. And two, I just got better with the flow of things.
Yeah. It is so much harder. I mean, it's like, it's obviously, like, weird to be like, oh, my job is so hard. My job that I don't get paid for. But, like, well, don't do it then, right? But it is, I think it is a lot harder than people realize. I have so much more respect for, like, NPR, like, radio journalists now.
I've been thinking about how, like, anchormen do it on, on TV live.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is insane because they're not just reading at their own leisure. Like, somebody else is controlling the speed that they're reading on a teleprompter and everything. Like, that to me, that's insane. Good job for you guys.
Yeah.
Like, I'm reading off of a Google Doc that I wrote myself, sort of thing.
Right, and they're just doing. I mean, I don't think that they can't, like, stop and edit
because
you can't do that with video. Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's either live or even if it's not, they can't just splice together video because you would see that. So with audio, we can splice pretty much anything. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've seen growth in myself. Like I started to say at the beginning, just feeling a lot more comfortable, I think. And I hope
for sure
that comes through. I feel like it does.
It absolutely does. I think that you've gotten better behind the mic. And I mean, there, I think that on top of that, you're becoming a face in the community that people recognize. And that's a huge deal to have people be like, oh, yeah, there's Tyler Frankie.
They always say I had a face for podcasting.
That's sad.
Well, I was hoping that we could take some time here and just go over some of our favorite moments, our favorite things.
Okay.
From our... 3 or 4 months of doing the show. Yeah. But let's start with favorite guest.
Okay. I've got mine.
Okay, go ahead.
100% it's the Canby High Drama Club.
Okay.
Which they weren't like as much a guest. I mean, I guess you did.
They were basically the guests for that episode. So this was our Halloween special.
Right, but didn't you interview them as well?
I did for the curtains.
A separate thing.
For a different episode, yeah.
And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking specifically about the Halloween. Although I did enjoy their interview with the curtains one.
Yeah.
They seem like a really fun group. And it was really cool to sit down and edit through their stuff and work on their stories for the Halloween episode. If you haven't listened to the Halloween episode, highly recommend
it.
You don't even, like, it's timeless.
Go listen to it again if you already have. I've listened to it again since
then. It's so good.
Really good. Yeah.
Not to toot our own horns or anything.
Well, no, we're amazing. Like, it's obviously.
After 4 months, we're so good at this.
No, I mean, that was a total.
Them. It's them. That's the reason why it's so good.
It was a total community thing. The stories that were submitted in and the kids that read them. That is one of my favorite moments of the show, actually. Not we'll talk about our overall favorite moment, but just that effort, because it was the community coming together, because it involved a lot of different people in high school, and some of those kids like actually want to be voice actors. So
That's so cool.
The idea that we can help in a very small way, kind of aid in that experience and give them a little experience of what it's like, what their future career might actually be like.
Yeah.
It's so awesome. And
it's super cool.
It's one thing that I really enjoyed about this process is that it has been so community. Like you mentioned, I've been out in the community a little bit. I do have a full-time job, so I'm not out in Canby as much as I'd like to. Maybe someday we'll be. But still, it's just worlds more than anything I ever had at a newspaper, where I felt like I was very much like in a cave a lot of times. Even though I was out in the community covering stuff, I'd go back and write it and then put it out, and it just
there was
a disconnect, and this has felt a lot more collaborative than that I ever felt, and it's been awesome. So
that's super cool. What about you?
Favorite guest? It's like picking your favorite child. Like, it's so hard.
Sure. Okay.
I've enjoyed all the interviews. I'm not even joking. Like, I have enjoyed our guest, and we've got more exciting ones coming up, and I'm really excited about that. But I did really, really enjoy back in episode 20 getting to talk to Aaron Crawford with the country music guy. And I'm not even a big country music fan. I'm not like, oh, Aaron Crawford, I've wanted to talk to you my whole life. Like, I did know, I had heard of him before the interview, but I wasn't like a huge fan or anything. But I just thought it was really fun, and he was a good interview. And even though some of the audio in that was challenging, we were still kind of figuring out the cell phone interview at that point. But he was it was hilarious, because, and I should have mentioned this in the thing, but like during the actual interview, I didn't think about it till after, and that's always the thing. Like, I think, oh, I should have said this, it'd be so much better. But he actually, one of the things that came up in the interview was like his authenticity, you know, that that is really just who he is when you see him in his music videos, and he's like throwing on a baseball cap, and like that is actually his cat, that is actually his dog, you know. But he recorded that interview from literally from a pickup truck.
Oh,
like, he was out in his truck because they were working on his house. He was doing like some housework, so he went out into his truck. So that's how you know your country, when you do your phone interviews from a truck.
Sorry guys, gotta go do this podcast from my F-150.
Right. That's a really good impression of Aaron Crawford right there. Favorite news story? This will be interesting.
I mean, there are so many. It's hard to remember a lot of them. But the ones...
So many favorites, you mean?
Yeah. No. I mean, yeah, I guess. But mystery phones. That's my favorite one.
Oh, you're supposed to save that for the crime story. That's
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, it's both.
Okay, so tell people if they haven't heard it, because it came up in a few different other police beats.
Well, it's,
but
from what I remember from the stories, it's people have been getting free mystery phones, and they don't know where it's coming from or who's getting them. And So it's like it's the funniest thing.
It's always an iPhone.
Yeah.
People get iPhones like, in the mail.
Is Apple doing this as a promotion? And then Cambie's just like, no, we don't want your free stuff.
Yeah.
I just find it really funny that people are getting free stuff and they're complaining about it. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing or a good thing. I'm just like, that's a funny story to me.
There are so many of those police beat stories that are like, oh my gosh, I need so many more details right now. Like, come on, Cambie Police Department. And that's just one of the ones. It's like, oh, somebody else got a free phone. Like, the police came and took care of it. Like,
yep. Calls us up for another free phone incident.
I wonder what if there's a code for that. It's like, oh, got another 2248 in progress.
In progress.
you were going to make a joke about the news stories about how, like, planning code for
you wanted me to say my favorite, and those are the two I can remember, the mystery phones, and then the other one that I hate is the code AB to A or whatever it was that we had. Like, our first three episodes were all about
that
code development, and I'm sitting here behind the computer like rubbing my forehead of like, why are people of Cambie so interested in code changing schemes?
They are, though.
It's a big deal, apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the fundamental construction of our town.
Yeah.
But I can't help but not care.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. But yeah, that was the Cambie Townhomes. That was a big story for us for getting our started.
I know what your favorite story is.
My favorite news story was, are you going to guess?
The big scoop.
The big scoop. Project Shakespeare. So, it was like, what break? There was some, Thanksgiving. It happened around Thanksgiving when we found out about it. And I was like so nervous that the Cambie Herald or somebody else knew about it because it had been filed. And it's just anyone's game at that point, you know? So I was like obsessively checking like other view, and then like, yes, you know, nobody else scooped us and we put it out there, and that was crazy.
It's a big deal.
By far our most hit news story.
Over the Chase Doherty?
Yeah, yeah. So I looked at our website stats. Two of our top five were Chase Doherty stories, but the Project Shakespeare was number one.
If you guys are wondering why I said it weird, it's because I literally cannot say it the right way.
Say it.
Doherty.
That was good.
Was it?
Yeah. You kept calling him Chase Daughtry.
Daughtry?
And you recorded those, like, without me, and then I'd hear it on the podcast the next day, and I'd be, like, screaming in my car, like, it's Doherty! How hard is it?
Guys, can I just put out a public apology? If I say your name wrong, please...
Email him.
Know that, like...
Tyler@canbenowpod.com.
First of all,
send all your hate mail. Yeah,
but
only hate mail.
But on top of that, I'm sorry I get your names wrong. I am working off of Frankie's phonetic spelling sometimes, and even that doesn't help.
I didn't think that one needed it, but
yeah, I'm bad with it. I'm just bad with names. So that's okay. I'm like the substitute teacher.
Chase.
Daughtry.
Daughtry.
Daughtry. Sorry, guys.
Well, you already did your favorite crime story.
Yeah, what's yours?
The dude, I don't remember any of the details, but he was hit by his own car. So he was,
about that one.
I think it was West Lynn. We covered it just because it was Clackamas County and it was awesome and hilarious. But, he had broken into,
really
we have a video on our YouTube. If you guys want to go check it out, I was experimenting. That was the first video I ever captioned. I was experimenting with how to add captions to video so we could have the audio in there. Because I know a lot of people listen without sound.
Sure.
So you could see that the officer did say, we need medical. He was hit by his own car. But this guy, again, go to our website and look up his name because I don't have it here. But he, Tyler's doing it.
Oh, no, I'm not.
You're just doing something else.
Yeah.
He'd broken into some cars and got the police called on him, allegedly. And by the time they came, he was gone, but they kind of scoped out the area for a vehicle matching the description. And he was, like, sleeping in his car, like, a few blocks away. So, again, a genius criminal here. They noticed in the back seat what appeared to be the items that had been stolen.
Right. And they were ridiculous items, right?
I don't remember. It was like a tennis racket and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah, like not big money things. And so the bright lights of the officers like woke him up.
Yeah.
And he fled the scene. They pursued him.
So they pursued him through the city.
Yep.
And he wound up in this, like, it's the middle of the night, so it's closed, but it was like an office building type complex.
Sure.
I guess he's like, I don't know what's going through his head, like, oh, this car thing isn't working, I'm going to try on foot. So he gets out of his car.
I know it's faster than cars running.
Well, yeah, I guess he saw, like, well, they can't get out of their car. And like, I don't know what this guy was thinking. So he gets out of the car, forgets to put it in park, so the car is still rolling forward. And he tries to run around the front of the car and is run over by his car. He's like smushed in between the car and the office building, and then winds up trapped underneath, and his leg was broken, I believe, or he had some kind of serious injury from it. So, yeah.
That sounds like a fun story.
Genius criminal.
Mm-hmm. I remember you telling me about it. I remember the videos. It was really good. You should check it out if you haven't seen the video.
Yeah. Favorite history story.
Pantsless Boy Scout.
You want to tell me about that one?
I mean, this guy, like, caught his pants on fire down by the river, and then the fire department found him, right?
I don't think it was by the river, but he was burning his garbage, which is something that some people in the country do.
Yeah.
And there was, for some reason, some gasoline in the garbage, and it spilled onto his pants.
Yep.
And then gasoline is actually quite flammable.
A little bit, just a little bit flammable.
So he, his pants caught on fire, which would have been fine, but his grandmother, who lived nearby, had seen the smoke.
From the fire, from the trash
from
fire.
I guess from the trash, because it was like super black because of the gasoline.
Yeah.
And so she called the fire department. And so they show up, like, three or four trucks, and he's just there with no pants on and, like, covered in mud because he had, like, rolled in the mud to get the fire out. So
one time I puked in Fred Meyer when I was a kid, and I was in the bathroom stall, and I puked, and then
had you drank too much Bailey's?
No, I was, like, 11. So, okay. No. And then an employee came in and was like, hey, you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. And then he left, and then I came out of the bathroom stall, and when I came out, there were, like, policemen coming in, and I thought they were coming after me, so I ran and found my dad, and then we left, and as we left, there was, like, three fire trucks, an ambulance, and then two cops.
Yeah.
All outside, and they were going into the bathroom to find me, and I'm... And
they
so
thought
I,
you were in
I don't know
trouble?
What they thought.
Like,
they
thought you were in medical difficulty
probably,
or something?
Yeah. Probably. So I know how that guy feels.
Yeah.
Except I got away with it.
Yeah, yeah. But just to be, like, super embarrassed and then
all this stuff happen when it's like, oh God, you found me at my worst moment.
So. Yeah. This one time when I was in college, I had a long distance relationship. And so we would talk by phone. I was living in a dorm room with a roommate. So so like zero privacy.
Yeah.
And so I would just go. I had a car. I had my truck. And so I'd just go somewhere like off campus and just talk. And I found this. It was like a snowmobile dealership. And so it was closed, you know. And I would just go behind there and talk, you know, because it's just quiet and everything. It's just right off the highway. It's like it's only a few minutes from the campus.
Sure.
Well, I'd done that a couple nights, and then I did it this one night, and like I had only been there like maybe 5 minutes, and there was like 20 or 30 police officers that just converged like from all directions around me. And apparently this was a place where like drug deals happened like on the reg.
Sure.
So all of the people around there were like supposed, if they saw somebody going there at night, they were supposed to call the police.
Right. Oh my goodness.
And so
you just want to talk to your girlfriend.
I just want to talk to my girlfriend. And I was like, I was a freshman. I didn't know any of the stuff. So they were like, we need to search your vehicle. We need to search you. And I was like, yes, please. Like, I didn't have anything to hide. But like now I'm like, no, I'm not doing anything wrong. Oh, I guess I was trespassing. I don't know.
This is a quick segue to the future of things to come.
Mm-hmm. We are going to be hunting
drugs. Police searches. No. I'm going to start doing a segment where I talk about my life in Cambie and stories. Something that we're going to want you guys to participate in.
I'm excited about it.
One of my first stories is talking about a cop pulling me over and just the fun that ensued with my car being searched for drugs, which I think is just one of the best stories that can be.
Yeah. So very similar to what happened to me.
Oh, very similar.
Yeah. So that was fun, and I never went back there.
Good.
So. Did we do? Okay, my favorite history. The history series has been so fun.
It's a really good series.
I like it. It is hard to find time for it sometimes, but we actually have a new segment, a new history segment coming up on this episode, so look forward to that. But I really liked in the Fire series, the pornography
The building press
just because I had some, I feel like some good Frankie jokes in there on that one. talk about hot. My absolute favorite was way back in episode 3, I guess, Charlie Sturgis.
During the fairy series?
No, this was after that, but is a guy who, his family was told that he had died.
Oh, yeah.
Because a body had been found wearing his clothes out in the woods, like a murder victim.
Right.
And some family friend went down and identified and was like, yep, that's him. And then a few months later, he like shows up and is like, hey guys. And he was sort of mentally unstable. So they like didn't want to tell him that he had had a funeral and everyone thought he was dead.
Right.
So they're just like, oh, welcome back. That was a pretty cool story. And that happened in Candy.
Everyone just play cool.
Just play cool. Hey, Charlie. Funny. It's great to see you. So yeah, look that up on our website. All these history stories, by the way, you can obviously hear on the podcast, or we have them on our website. If you go there, canbynowpod.com, and go to the tab history.
Yeah.
This is gonna be fun. Favorite soundbite.
Yeah, I'm gonna let you do yours first because mine's better.
Okay. Mine is Larry Boatwright from the Planning Commission. This Planning Commission meetings are not like a meeting where you expect to find something that's like awesome.
Right.
You go there because they're important and you like, or at least I think they're important. Don't. Yeah. I see. You made a face. I heard this and I was just like, that is the coolest. That has got to be like the coolest thing that's ever been said in a Canby Planning Commission meeting. Larry Boatwright, let's play it.
Here we go.
I think you need to change the damn code.
Yeah. You don't need to play the whole thing.
No, okay.
A lot of problems with some of this code.
It's just, it was discovered that the Canby code actually prohibits townhomes, even though we have a lot of townhomes.
Right.
And they were like kind of asking the Planning Commission, so what do you think we should do with it? And he was like, I think you should change it because we have townhomes and they should be allowed because they're already here. So
I can just see Larry being at the end of his rope. I'm tired of these.
I've been fighting this.
Darn codes.
Yeah.
Mine's better.
Yeah. But I appreciate that. You know, yeah. And I think that's something that people forget. Like, these are volunteers, first of all. And they're just normal people, you know, and they're the stuff that kind of frustrates us or that we think is weird is usually frustrating to them too. You know, they're just doing their best and some things are just hard to change. I mean, that thing, it's like a months long process to change a couple words in the code. So
my favorite soundbite comes from, what's her name again? I totally forgot.
So Kristen Mull.
Kristen Mull. Thank you so much for the evening that I got to have editing this episode.
Let me tell you a little about her. She is married to one of the teachers at Canby School District.
Ooh.
And football coaches. And she's a track coach at Oregon City High School, and occasionally she calls soccer games for KNBC TV5, and that's where we discovered this.
And we're just going to go right into it because, oh man, so much anticipation.
Trying everything they can. Shot on goal. Shot on goal. Yes! Goal, KNBC! Second of the game.
It's so good, you guys.
That was a goal for Canby.
I feel like we should have set the stage a little more. So it was, I believe it was tied 0-0. It was tied anyway.
Right.
And it went literally to the last second. Canby girls soccer was playing Lake Ridge.
You can see the video on our, no, not on ours. No.
You'd go to CTV5 for
that. Right.
We went right, it literally down to the last second.
Yeah.
And actually the timing was off, so it looked like time had expired, but it hadn't. It was just off on the screen.
Mm.
And then Kristen just has that amazing call.
She's so excited.
And I don't know if you guys were still listening back then. This is like back in episode 4. But so I don't know if you heard that before. We obviously knew what was happening. We're just like grinning like idiots in the play up. Yeah, I love it. So Kristen, thank you so much for that energy, and that was just amazing.
When you proposed that we use a clip from that, like, I was so kind of irritated that we have to go through a whole 4-hour video almost
to find it. Yeah,
but then once we got it, I was so happy.
Yeah,
and I like it. Was she does such a good job of being excited for the moment and really still giving us the information for calling the game. So she does a perfect job, and like I can't help but smile every time I think of it. We named the whole episode after that.
Right.
I can't tell you how much that's my favorite.
And that's
clip.
Another thing that's so special about what we're finding and what we're doing is that community, that local feel. You're not going to find that kind of energy, that kind of excitement at like somebody calling a Trailblazers game or something.
Right.
You know, not anymore. Like I think used to, you'd have that with like Bill Shonley and stuff, but where they are like so invested in the team, you know, that she
that
is a fan.
You feel it through them.
She is a fan. She's a fan first, you know, and I love that. So how about this? Your favorite Frankie joke?
All of them, man. I mean, I don't even remember them. Just they're all the best.
They're all so good. I don't have a favorite one.
Of course you don't.
I thought you were just going to say that they're all terrible. Okay, we'll end with this. What's your favorite overall moment?
So for me, it's it's going out into the town of Canby and kind of seeing it a little bit differently. So it's not...
You're cheating.
It's not really a moment so much as like kind of a change and being able to go out and talk to people the first interview I did was in Wilsonville with cops that are Clackamas County sheriffs.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went and talked to Tony Crawford a couple weeks ago and talked to them about what they're doing with the Kiwanis and how they're reaching out and helping the community, I can't tell you how big that was for me.
Mm.
I've got stuff written down here, like all the little things that I've done or seen. Like, we went to a business weekend at the Dahlia when we first started. Mm-hmm. And meeting the people that are running businesses or hoping to start businesses here in town, all of that was inspirational to me. And then when we got to do the interview at CTV.
Mm, with Embry Johnson.
Yeah, with Embry Johnson. Like, this kid's the coolest kid I've ever met in my life, you know? And we get the chance to sit down with him. And I asked him, when I was like, are you...
Hey, hold up. You've met my kids.
Embry's been in a movie.
Okay, I'm going to have to... my daughter was in a Canby Now podcast video.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I asked him at one point, like, hey, man, are you nervous? And he's like, yeah, man, I'm kind of nervous. And it was so weird to me because I'm like, dude, we're nervous interviewing you.
I wasn't nervous.
Okay. Well, I was.
Okay.
And so it was just cool that I'm being a part of the community now and I can add something to it. I spent my entire life just kind of living in town and seeing the people that are doing things and running the city. And now I get to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So my overall moment is just that moment when I get to be out and I get to talk to people about our show, which is why I bring it up every single time we have a soapbox. If you talk to me or if you want to talk to me, feel free. You'll see us wearing Canby Now sweaters.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has.
Right.
But it is cool. It's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So you didn't do it. That's not a moment. So your moment is just doing the podcast?
Yep.
That's cheating. My favorite moment was I think actually your favorite as well, was the Canby Townhomes story. No, I'm serious because when we came out with that story and we posted it on the Facebook group Canby Now, it was like... It was a story that was just like, I think this is important.
Yeah.
You know, like Tyler thinks it's stupid. Tyler doesn't understand it. But like, I feel like this is a big deal. And this is like why I'm doing what I'm doing is like to bring stuff like this to light. And it just went nuts on that Facebook page.
Yeah.
Tons of discussion. People were really into it. People were asking like really good questions. They weren't just like rabble, you know, like people think that group is. Like, right. There was actual discussion going on. And it was so fulfilling to me because it was, again, something that I did not really experience at the newspaper, sure. You know, that I feel like I do this work and just kind of toss it into the void, you know, and to have the opportunity to really feel like I was making an impact and really informing people.
Nice.
That was really cool. And just to get serious, like this, it's only been a few months, but the podcast has been like a highlight, I think, of my 2018.
Yeah.
You know, when I just think back, it's hard to really pull a moment. It's hard to really, it's just been an amazing ride. And I'm really looking forward to what's going to happen next year.
Yeah, me as well.
So just looking ahead a little bit for you guys, we have one more day to hashtag vote for Doug and the Canby Snowman.
After
what do you
this
think?
Comes out?
Yeah.
This comes out on Monday.
Comes out on Monday the 31st.
Uh-huh.
So they have until the 1st.
Oh.
Yeah.
On the 1st, they can still vote?
It's a good question. I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. At least you have today.
Right.
The 31st. So go vote for Doug. Go to hotroddreamworks.com. All one word. Go to Snowman Contest. Find Doug. Vote for him. It's alphabetical. How do you think we're going to win? I don't know.
Not even a little
bit. I don't think we're going to win.
Not even a little
bit. But please vote for us and help us win money, because we need the money way more than Canby Fire District. Starting in the new year, we have got some sponsors.
We
we're
do.
Very excited to
super excited.
Announce that. Yeah. So you're going to start hearing those, you just call them endorsements or sponsorships, not ads, because they're not really ads. But these are businesses that we honestly patronize, so we, you know, feel like are good businesses in our community, mm-hmm. and they're supporting us, which we are so, so grateful for. They are literally making what we do possible.
Yeah.
I know people say that all the time, but like, it's really true, because I don't know if my wife would let me keep doing this if it didn't start to make some money.
Yeah.
So yeah, please, when you do start hearing those, understand what they are. We know no one likes ads, but these are local businesses that are
and our goal
part
is,
of our community.
Our goal is to not have one sponsor that you're going to hear an ad from 5 times an episode, or every single episode. We want to get all of Canby in here so everyone gets a chance to promote themselves. Mm-hmm. So if you want to promote yourself or something that you've got, you can always contact us too.
We would love to hear from you and add to our sponsors. So please do listen to the sponsorships. Please do support those businesses if that's the type of thing that you're interested in.
Yeah.
We're all about local stuff, obviously. So
sure.
I think pretty much anything that you could ever want to buy, you can find right here in Canby. And that's money that stays in our community instead of going outside. So I had one more thing. Oh, and just we're adding new stuff to the format. So we had some poetry reading in this episode. Tyler loves that.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know
should
what you think.
Should the department change the code from A to B?
Yeah.
Or shall it always
Tyler
be
just is
code C?
Tyler is
my poetry.
Negative Nancy. Let us know what you think of new stuff we're adding, and if you have any ideas for stuff that you'd like to hear on the show. We are very, very open. This is your podcast as much as it is ours. So let's kick it over to history. Happy
history.
New Year. It all began with berries. The land we now call Canby, situated atop a grassy plateau above the Willamette and Mallala rivers, was already open and practically clear of trees when white settlers first started to arrive in the mid-1800s. They called it a prairie, Baker Prairie to be exact, probably named after James Baker, who settled north of town in 1838, although it may also have been Micaiah Baker, a trapper who frequented the area in 1813 and 1814. Little else is known about him. Vast forests of trees surrounded Baker Prairie, but in this clear and fertile plain grew abundant bounties of strawberries and other wild fruits. Historians would later come to believe that the land had been a garden of the local tribes of Native Americans, who had long before cleared the land, burned the trees, and allowed the berries to grow. The Clackamas tribes, who numbered some 2,000 souls when Lewis and Clark made their 1806 expedition, were nomadic and treated the area like a giant store, going to wherever the plants were flourishing best. It's said that what is now Canby was a favorite location and an annual meeting spot because of the strawberries. James Baker was one of the first white men to live in Oregon. He found his way here with a herd of cattle in tow, which he'd driven all the way from California. He married a woman from the Kalapuya tribe, and they operated a huge farm in what is now North Canby. Contact with the early pioneers was catastrophic for the native people, as diseases brought to the area by white settlers ravaged their numbers. Others died of starvation and malnutrition, brought on by the loss of hunting grounds and competition, as the settlers and their livestock ate the plants and crops upon which the natives had once survived. By 1855, the 88 remaining Clackamas natives were relocated to Grand Ronde, where they blended into the general population. Their descendants today belong to the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde. Soon after Baker came Philander and Anna Green Lee, who crossed the Oregon Trail in 1847, part of a mass family migration of Lees and Greens. They left New York in 1846 and wintered in Iowa before completing their trip. The Oregon Trail was, well, it was exactly like the game, the Oregon Trail. It was marked by sickness, accidents, death, difficult river crossings, the wagon tipped over while floating, camps without fuel or water, hostile natives, snowy mountain passes, and dangerous storms. Philander, who was 45 when he braved the trail, and Anna, who was 40, began and ended the journey with seven children, but not the same seven. Their son Jason died in Iowa, and another, Albert, was born along the way. As the Lee's wagon train passed the summit of the Blue Mountains, they received a note from two missionaries near Walla Walla, Washington, Marcus and Narcissa Whitman, asking for flour. When they met the Whitmans later, the missionaries told the Lees that the Cayuse Indians were becoming unfriendly. 4 weeks later, Marcus and Narcissa Whitman and 11 others were killed by members of the Cayuse tribe in an infamous episode history would remember as the Whitman Massacre. The Cayuse had accused Marcus Whitman, a physician, of poisoning some 200 members of their tribe, when in actuality, they were probably suffering from measles the doctor had simply been unable to cure. The incident led directly to the founding of the Oregon Territory in 1848 and the outbreak of the Cayuse War, which would last until 1855. But the Lees would be spared those hardships. They took boats downriver from the Dalles and wintered in Linton. They grew vegetables on Salvies Island to sell in a small village called Portland. In the fall of 1848, the Lees finally arrived in Canby, though it would be decades before anyone called it that. They bought squatters' rights to some land beside a spring-fed stream that is now known as Highway 99E. The next year, Philander, his brother Philester, and his oldest son Edwin, that's just Edwin, that's his name, caught gold fever and joined the gold rush of 1849. They didn't strike it rich, but they actually made enough to return to Oregon and buy some apple trees. The Lees planted the trees and began growing apples that they would ship back to the gold miners in California. To ship the apples to the gold fields, Lee hauled them by wagon and ox team on the torturous 6-hour journey to the closest steamboat landing in Oregon City. In 1850, the Lees gained title to their 647 acres through the Donation Land Claim Act, which brought many more settlers over the Oregon Trail to Baker Prairie and surrounding areas. When the Oregon and California Railroad began to push through the Willamette Valley in 1870, Lee seized the opportunity to sell 111 acres of his claim to the railroad for a 24-block city. Lee received $2,960. So Cambyites, if you ever wondered who designed a city with a railroad that runs right through downtown, now you know who to blame. At least we do have Philander to thank for his forethought in giving us the spacious downtown streets we now enjoy. Unhappy with the narrow roads he had to traverse on his market trips at Oregon City, he made wide streets a condition of his sale. They were platted at 80 feet wide, which they verified by maneuvering an ox team and wagon throughout the 24-block grid. Philander Lee died in 1887 at the age of 84. The couple had been married for 60 years. Anna died in 1900 at age 92. She was the oldest resident in the area at the time, leaving behind 3 children, 16 grandchildren, 17 great-grandchildren, and 2 great-great-grandchildren. Both were buried in Baker Prairie Cemetery. We have many more stories of the Lee family and the many other early pioneers and residents who influenced the town Canby was to become, but it'll have to wait till next time on Canby Then.
This is a 100% positive review. Just so you know, it's all good. I loved Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. If you're a fan of Spider-Man comic books and you went to see this movie and you walked out thinking that maybe it wasn't that good, then I want you to email me, tyler@canbenowpod.com, and let's talk about it. Let's have a rational adult conversation about this animated superhero film and about why it's the best Spider-Man film to date. The story is pretty simple. A portal opens up in New York and several different universes come crashing together. We see the origin of a Spider-Man named Miles Morales after he sneaks out with his uncle to work on his creative endeavors, is what we'll call them, and gets bit by a radioactive spider. He then meets Peter Parker and gets a chance to see what he might be able to become. But all goes kaput when the portal machine explodes and several different spider people, spider heroes, let's go spider heroes, come to Miles's universe. Miles then starts to work with a Peter Parker that is, well, he's a little more chubby than the Peter that Miles had originally met. And in the time that they have together, they meet Spider-Woman, or Spider-Gwen, as we all know her, from a universe where Peter became a bad guy and his girlfriend got bit by a spider. There's also Spider-Ham and Spider-Girl from an anime-looking world, super cool, as well as Noir Spider-Man, voiced by Nicolas Cage, aka the best Spider-Man in the movie. But that's just my opinion. The movie has them trying to teach Miles his new powers while looking for a way back to their own universes. Seriously, not complicated. I mean, kinda complicated, but still amazing. I have seen people say that this is a faithful adaptation to the original source material, but I would completely disagree. This takes some material from the Ultimate Spider-Man universe, then injects it into the Spider-Verse comic book, and then shakes that up with the Spider-Man story from 2012. You take that and have it bite the Sony animation team, and then you get this superheroic mutated story that is absolutely original with trappings of a classic Spider-Man story. The animation is beautiful, it's weird and just a little off-putting, but in a way that makes you want to watch more. And by the time your mind gets a chance to get used to it, you see something that challenges your brain just a little more. It's smooth and fluid with odd jumps and reactions that make you feel like you really are peering into a new universe that's just like ours, but different. With voice work that mixes perfectly and a soundtrack that makes you feel the moments, along with villains that are both recognizable and far from what we're used to, this movie has everything it needs to be fun and familiar, along with new and exciting. On top of which is the underlying Spider-Man story that runs through the entirety of this film, a story of uncertainty and hope. The themes of Spider-Man have always been sacrifice for the betterment of the world, putting others above yourself and being a good person because that's what we're all called to be. It's not about being a mutated person who has cool powers, though that's what draws us in. Spider-Man is about seeing the pain of the world and being brave enough to stand up to it, no matter the consequences. And that's our show. Special thanks to our guest today, us. I just had to get that in there. Hey, if you like what you just heard, please let us know. Write a review for us on Facebook, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss out on our latest episodes.
We were very good boys this year, so we got exactly what we asked for this Christmas. It's an interview with Santa Claus himself. We'll ask him about the challenges of running a global export business in the midst of a collapsing Eurozone and a government shutdown.
If you have a news tip, an idea for a guest we should invite on the program, or suggestions of how we can improve, please contact us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CanBeNow, or on our website, CanBeNowPod.com.